everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. This is Veronica Entwistle, your host tonight. And I hope that I'll be hosting you as you call in to talk to me. What did you think about the election? How many of you have moved into, well, I don't know, choosing sides, really praying for both sides? I guess what I really, what culminated for me after seeing the, what is it? Ever since recorded history, let's refer to the Bhagavad Gita, right? When, that was about 8,000 years ago when that story started to be recounted all over the place. There was a guy whose name was Arjuna, whose cousin or uncle or someone got into a position of power, and he took all the money from the people, and he took their land, and he took their resources, and Arjuna was in charge of a battle to go back and win the people's, well, their livelihood, their houses, whatever it is they were living in at the time. And his buddy was an avatar, somebody who's come back to the planet, even though he's fully realized, in order to make a difference. So he hangs out with his cousin, Arjuna. And Arjuna says, I don't really want to fight these people. I don't want to lead this big battle because a lot of the people that are going to get killed are people that I've known and loved all my life. A rather small community. And then Krishna says, you got to lead the people because they all have you up on a pedestal and they need you. They need a leader. And there's been such deception and they need to have someone with consciousness to take them through. And then they go through this huge inner discussion about things like greed and jealousy and competitiveness and self-aggrandizing and so on, all the things that Arjuna has to deal with. And you realize as you read some parts of this huge epic, humongous epic poem, that 8,000 years ago they were dealing with the same exact same stuff as we are. So when I'm watching all the gigantic money expenditures on mudslinging and a bunch of hogwash that are leading to the, I'm not really talking politics here, I'm just saying that there was so much spin, who to believe, why to believe them, and what to do, it really made me nauseated for a while, and I think a lot of other people. And it's really interesting because then I flip back to the Bhagavad Gita. I talked to Jack Holly, who had written it, great scholar guy that he is, for the Western mind. And he was on Paradigm Shifters one night, and I really got into this Bhagavad Gita with him. And I was realizing that it's kind of funny to me. It's like, here we are on the planet. And the battle is the same. The battle is inside of ourselves, and the battle is with our karma and our belief structures. And as we believe, so it is done to us. And as we believe in a great big gaggle of people called a community or a country or, whatever, it so it is done to us. And then we battle one another and who's got the best externalized principles. But really and truly, it has a lot to do with who you are inside and what it is you're going to bring into the world. It's so interesting for me. It kind of makes my head swim even just talking about it. So I'd really love to hear what kinds of things that you came up with whilst the election was going on. Now, somebody that you and I know about, this was very serendipitous. I was flipping through wanting to change my newsletter for Paradigm Shifters, Radiance by Design, my work with BBS Radio, my own sessions and all these other things. And suddenly Blogspot Radio comes through with a new face. And so they've got a brand new magazine front, if you will. And I go, oh, that looks really good. And what they've done is embedded in their literature all these different things that are coming up on Blogspot Radio. Stop spot. Anyway, I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting way to do it. So as I was looking through the first page, there's this thing about an interview with Marianne Williamson, who I think is wonderful. I don't always follow her stuff because there's so much out there. But my heart always goes out to her because she stands there in her beauty and her hard work and her ability to really voice that inner process or that way in which we're trying to evolve. And she's really a Course in Miracles wizardess. And so she really expounds. She was Jewish, I think. But anyway, she expounds on Jesus. And, you know, a lot of you have read the Course in Miracles or worked with the Course in Miracles. And she's used that as the crux of a lot of her teaching. Anyway, boom, I'm listening to this whilst I cleaned up my kitchen, which really needed doing. I was listening to this interview with Marianne Williamson, and oh my gosh, she's talking about how politics is really strange, and that it's time that women step forward and stop hiding in the background and worrying about being whatever, this behaving or being this or that, and stand up and really be heard, that 51% of the population is feminine, and we're only, I think she said, 23% in the government, and that's not enough. And then she said it's really time, you know this, it's really time for all of us to stand up and say, it's not about money and who has the most money. It's about looking after all the people, and how can we do that? And so she's got this big group of women, coming together next Saturday and Sunday on November the 10th and the 11th. It's called Sister Giants, and it really excited me. If I had different circumstances right now, I would certainly go to it, because what it is, and you want to check it out, sistergiant.com, she's saying, come on, women and the men who are strong enough to come with us, come to not only just this meeting, they're going to do live streaming as well. It's going to be a seminar all day. Saturday and Sunday is a seminar from the woman who runs women's, women's political, I've forgotten and I didn't bring the name of it with me. But she's one at Yale University, who teaches how to step forward and run for office in political structures for women. And she's going to run the whole Sunday thing and teach a lot of the people that are there to come forward and how you can stand up and run for office. And somebody asked Marianne, because it was a bit of a panel, somebody said to her, isn't it about time you ran for office? Because she's been really political in a lot of ways, hasn't she? She's really stuck her neck out and really said what she believes in, which I don't always do. And she said, you know, I don't think I can handle it, because they're going to treat you badly and they're going to tear you apart. It's all going to be about money at this point. But at some point she wants to run, and that we women need to get stronger about it. So in any case, it says, for women, nonviolence, and birthing a new America politics. So I want you all to look up Sister Giant on women, nonviolence, and birthing a new American politics. I don't think I'll read all this. I've got it in front of me. Over the years, many people, this is by Marianne. Over the years, I'll read you a little bit. Many people on a spiritual journey have asked me why I keep going on and on about politics. And many people involved in politics have asked me why I keep going on about politics. Spirituality. Today, however, more and more people seem to sense, as I do, that each holds a gift for the other. People on a spiritual path, personal growth, spiritual practice, recovery, yoga, and so forth, are the last people who should be sitting out the great social and political questions of these days. And there's an important reason for this. People on such journeys are adept at change. Isn't that true? Need to have change. We're always praying for change. They know that the mechanics of the heart and mind are the fundamental drivers of transformation. This doesn't just apply to one person, but to masses as well. If you know what makes an individual life change, then you know what makes a nation change, because a nation is simply a large group of individuals. There's a lot more written here, but what she's saying, do you remember what the Dalai Lama said? He said it would be the older Western women that made a huge change on the planet. And what she's saying is, come on, let all of us change. Let's not compete with one another anymore. It doesn't matter if you're Democratic or Republican. We have to learn to love one another. We have to learn to raise our children, feed our children. We have to learn to offset the toxicity on the planet. We have to learn to love Mother Earth. She says this is a country where 23% of the kids are living in poverty, and we're second to Romania as far as the lowest protection for children are amongst developing countries. That's a pretty interesting statistic. She also said we're the very highest in the world on the number of people incarcerated. That's a pretty interesting statistic. So of course, we're really high on guns, and we're highest in the world on mass gun shootings, except for where they're having these wars, but she's talking about developing countries. It was just very exciting for me. The day I read this, instead of being discouraged, of course, there was Sandy, and bless the people in the East. Oh, my God. Anyway, thinking about Sandy and feeling sort of heartbroken for them and knowing there are more storms going on and how we really need to look after one another. And then thinking about what she said, I suddenly felt empowered. I suddenly felt like there was hope for our planet if we really start to ignite that caring and that change and the strength of knowing that we really can do something. We can come out of hiding or coming out of meditation and really speak and really do something. So that's what I want to do tonight. And I hope you're going to call in and tell me what you're thinking about politics. How's it going over there on the East with Sandy? I know you were headed, there was a really, a nor'easter, yeah, a big cold storm and a lot of snow. And I was hearing NPR things about people setting up, there was a woman in Rockaway who realized there were so many hungry people that she sat on the corner cooking food for people. And I was really impressed by that. There's a lot going out there, and I'm hoping that you're going to call in and share with us. Anyway, let's do our collective. I love to do the collective meditation. And one of the things that we did on Paradigm Shifters, just another little aside, Paradigm Shifters this week was Patricia Keel, who's one of the Oneness Blessings teachers. She stands there. A lot of these Oneness Blessings, people do Om Blessings on computers or in person, and they just stand there and they just radiate these very high frequencies of energy that they learn to transmit from Bhagavan Om. And I believe people like Joe Dunning and Galexis, people like that, do huge energy downloads. And these are meant to enter the collective and lift us so we can hold a much bigger place. So anyway, when I interviewed Patricia Keel, we did a very powerful energy blessing for all of the people, as she said, who are committed to or really attracted to or called to service in the elective system. And that's the kind of thing that I believe Marianne wants us all to do as well, that we should be, not should, but it would be really invigorating for the world out there for us to be sending high-frequency energy to those people who are running countries, and running for office, and running the governments, and running the programs for people, and running the stock markets. And, you know, let's see if we can infuse and imbue our humanity with more and more consciousness. Another thing I wanted to throw into that mix is that there are some tremendous downloads coming from the universe these days, and if you just stand quietly and call it in, you can feel them run through the top of your head and infuse your body as well. So you see, we're getting a lot of help. Things are dark, things are stormy, there's a lot of turmoil, but hey, on the other hand, there's huge, huge infusions of very high-frequency energy that can help bop change through our genetics, through our DNA, through our community, through our households, through our all the households together create a country, don't they? So let's do a community meditation and bring some high-frequency energies through all together so we can all lift and be evolving together. And then after that, I'd really like you to call in. A couple of deep breaths. Call up the presence of a great golden ball above your head, maybe 2 miles, and below your spine, about 40 feet, and drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down. down through the spine into the lower golden ball. And now drop a four-sided pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height, 60 feet out, and then upside down meeting it, base to base, another golden pyramid, and its point goes into the lower golden ball. When they join each other, you've got an octahedron, an eight-sided figure, and you're in it. Doesn't it feel good? And now inside of that, you're in a crystal ball. And inside of that, you're in a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. Good. And then I want you to spin and spin and spin. Good. Spin and spin. Can you feel that? Spin and spin and spin. And now whilst you're spinning, look in front of you, and there's a beautiful, beautiful, magical screen, and you're going to make some movies. Let's make some movies. I would like to become consciously multidimensional. And that's the first movie I'm going to put up there, is me becoming multidimensional, consciously multidimensional, coming from the heart. Good. And you can be coming whatever you want to become. And as I get to that point of really appreciating that I'm actually getting there, I grin and smile and wrap it in light, move it over to the side, and then I have the second screen, and the second screen tells me what it is I want to create. Right now we're creating a portal website, a website where I'm going to have a whole bunch of, oh, video blogs and written blogs and news from you and so on. It's only partially done. So that's the creation I'm putting up there right now. And I want it to be a portal so that we can all connect with each other. Good. And I see all the resources coming, the time, the moolah, the people that can help us. And it comes together so beautifully. And then I see the resources coming to sustain it and expand it, make it a wonderful portal for you and me both. Good. Now let's wrap that in light. And let's go into the Galactic Healing Center. Now, the Galactic Healing Center is a wonderful place. There's a healing table. You know what they look like. It's pristine. And around it, my own guides and angels, the beings who are the healing guides. You know, you and I have this amazing gathering, coalescence of beings around us. And the ones that step forward for your healing table, those are your choice and their choice. The first person that comes in and pops up on the healing table is you, or in my case, me. And you lay on the healing table, and let's call forth the wisdom and the healing efforts of our being. Good. And if you have an issue you want to deal with, you can tell them that. Otherwise, ask them what it is that you'd like to deal with. Good. And you can feel that energy moving through your body. Good. Interesting, because they're telling and asking if they have a message for you. Good. And when you can really feel it moving, wrap that in light and move it over to the side. Good. And now we're going to create a fresh table. And we're going to bring in a gentleman who's in his early 90s and he's been feeling terrible. He's been really ill, vomiting, and has a cold, and he's on antibiotics. He's feeling really frustrated. Let's bring him in and ask for some help. This guy might even make 100, but at this point in his early 90s, he's pretty sick. Sometimes when you're older, your body gets a lot more fragile. Good, so we're asking the healing guides. There you go. There we go. And they're pulling. Who did you bring in? You brought in somebody different, didn't you? And now we're bringing in another woman, and she's a nurse. She's worked very, very hard. She tends to be quite mercurial, quite changeable. And suddenly, because of the politics in the hospital and her propensity for, I think because she has a propensity to be outspoken and is also trying to include alternative energy, she's been asked to leave, and she is just panic-stricken. She wanted to stay long enough for retirement, and she's 2 years short, and she's panic-stricken, and she can't sort of calm down. I noticed that she's just... So we're asking the team, our healing team, if they'll help her find peace and calm, because she's a woman who has a great deal of ability, and the panic is making it very hard for her to calm down. Will she be able to keep her house and run her mortgage? And let's infuse her with love and support, as well as what her team is doing. She looks much better. Okay. And there's so many of you. I can see so many. Who's on your healing table? So let's also, let's do the election. I won't call it the election. Let's do the political format, the global political format. That includes around the world, global monetary structure, woohoo, that's a big job, eh? And the country, who's running the country, and who's behind the scenes. Has anybody ever thought that there's like this humongous machine behind the scenes? So who we vote for isn't necessarily going to be able to do a whole lot. But you notice that, huh? So let's bring in the whole schmear and have it on our table. Remember, when this is magic, you can make it big and small, make it fit. And let's bring in our healing team, and then realms and realms of different dimensional people, beings, support beings, good, that work with them all. And around and around and around, we see people in power all over the world. And we see the economic grid, if that's the right word, yeah. And now let's see the higher guides and the angels infuse each one with the most amazing energy, moving consciousness through their bodies. Good. Individually and collectively. So that they're able to deal with. Remember, we talked about Arjuna and Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So they're able to deal with and release those part of the human emotional arsenal: competitive greed, selfishness, coldness against the flows of life on the planet and beyond. And we see the light entering all these beings. Consciousness rising. Good. All the way up through all these things. So that it infuses the collective. So that their hearts open to children, to plants, to oceans, to mountains, to life. Okay. Pretty high in here, doesn't it? So let's send that light and wrap that in light. And let's, should we do one more? Shall we do the house and aesthetic? All right, we'll do those two. And we'll just infuse, we bring them in on the table, and then we're going to infuse everyone involved with light, so that consciousness becomes the win-win. Because we have the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to wake up these days. Wake up! Feel those great downloads, universal downloads, and realize once we spark the awakening of ourselves and our program. DNA. Holy mackerel, it's contagious, isn't it? Woo-hoo! So there we are, we're just filling the Senate, filling Congress, House. There we are. And wrap that in light. Good. And now we're going to send, we're calling in that amazing download that we were just talking about. The ones I want to see are ones just loaded with harmony, consciousness, evolution. You can feel it almost as hard to contain because it stretches your cells. Right, have them come down through the top of your head, out your body, out your arms, your hands. And I'll send it all around the world. All around the world. And pat down all those places where people are being aggrieved and there's war and poverty and sickness. Good. And pat it down round and round and round the planet. And just pat this amazing light of consciousness on the planet, nurturing, harmonizing, growing, evolution. Great. Just really pack it into whatever places are dark for whatever reason. And have it flow round and round and round the world and come into your hands, up your arm. Your arms hold giving and receiving, don't they? And how it whirls around in your heart. And the consciousness of the heart, and move it up through your neck and out through the top of your head. Woo! Out into the great central sun, drop it back in, fill your body, and now turn around and close off the galactic healing center and jump into your star tetrahedron. If you work it right, it's your Merkaba. We can go traveling through time and space, can't we? All right, now we're going to jump back into this room, and here I am. You're going to call in? I'd love to talk to you about the election. I'd love to talk to you about the Bhagavad Gita. Another book I'm reading, which some of you I've already talked about, is the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. Because when you're talking about the Gita, oh, here, I've got the numbers for you. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Call in. You don't want me to just blab on here by myself. All right, so I will. Anyway, so the Bhagavad Gita, I told you about how they were dealing with the success of the battles by dealing with what was going on inside. They were doing everything from the highest good. That's a hugely, I made it very tiny. I made a thumbnail so small that it doesn't even touch the depth of that epic thingamabob. So also recently, I started reading the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. And part of the reason I wanted to read that is because, like, it's so confusing, isn't it, on this planet? You're going, what are we living for? If politically things have been the same for thousands and thousands of years, you know, we got a few greedy people, you got a whole bunch of serfs, you got a bunch of people who are enslaved, whether it's by nowadays by the store-bought media or whether it's by putting people in jails or corralling them or whatever. It's still been going on since time began. What on earth is going on? So I'm always looking to see, what am I learning? What are we learning inside? What are we learning with our guides and angels? What are we learning about dimensions? Is this an interesting place where we just come to experience the pressures that push us to refine our inner selves? It doesn't really matter what's happening on the outside. Is that what it's about? Or are we going to live into heaven on earth, which is something I always believed was going to happen? And I believe we are in the turning point of that right now. But reading the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying comes from, I had it years ago, but I never read it, to be honest. And a lot of other people tell me the same thing. But it was really time to read it again when I'm absolutely fascinated by dying and knowing that we've gathered so much information from other lives. And when do we get to the point where we're either off the wheel, or do we ever really want to be off the wheel? Or where are we headed individually and collectively? What are the options? How can we die peacefully with a great deal of radiance, blah, blah, blah. So I called my friend Jaya, who sometimes calls into this show, and she gave me the name of a woman named Rachel Von Dessler, I think is her name. And I asked her, she teaches how to dye the Tibetan way. I think she said she doesn't actually, she teaches classes about it, but the actual teachers of how to do it are usually Rinpoche. So she said she's not a Rinpoche, but she teaches dancing as well, and she teaches Qigong. She's a very interesting woman, and she's going to come on to Paradigm Shifters in December. But she said, in preparation, read the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. And you know what I love about it? It's written using a lot of the ancient treatises and ancient texts, probably as old as the Bhagavad Gita. And I used to think years ago that all spiritual roots must have the same principles, and I think it's true. Anyway, in the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, in the ancient way that they're talking about ancient truths, and one of the things that's fascinating and beautiful is that they're saying how you learn to know mind and to know body, and how they're held in these kind of membrane-like things, and that in between it is the access of glimpses of amazing illumination in which you realize that it's really your mind that creates it all. I'm going, oh boy, that sounds like Jane Roberts or any of the other people we study. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, it doesn't matter which tome you pick up. It's got the root to the self and the root to extricating ourselves from enslavement, if you know what I'm saying. This is a wonderful book. If you haven't read it, read it. It's really, it's fun. It's lively. I keep turning down pages of really relevant things, and my book is twice as fat now because most of the pages are turned down. And where was I going with all that? Oh, I'm thinking about time, the election, the shift. I know from what my guides say. Oh, goody, you're on the air, so I'll talk about what my guides say after you talk about what you want to say. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Am I on?
You're on. Is that Ted?
It's Ted, yeah. Hi, Veronica. It's been
how are
a
you?
Long time, huh?
Yes, it has been a long time. You must have known I needed you to call tonight.
Yeah, I just thought, I'm pleased with the election. I don't know that it's going to change the big picture so much, but it's good. It's nice that it happened. I don't know.
I think the big picture.
Everybody's in.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that every countries are in debt, and you know we're in debt to the banks, and that's gonna. I don't know. That's a big shift that needs to happen, and. It's going to happen no matter who is in office as the president here. But, I just think Obama's a more compassionate fellow than Romney.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just was my comment on the election and everything.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I think I agree with you, although I have to say that, I get really excited when I think there's downloads of amazing energy imbuing us with transformational capacity coming on. I think that's very powerful, and I think the machine to me is a bit scary, whether you're Obama or Marilyn Monroe, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not scary, but I don't think it's going, it's not compassionate, probably.
Yeah. And I think we need the energy of excitement rather than fear, so...
You have to move around a little bit. Your phone's not working well, Ted.
Yeah, I know. Let's just try it different places. All I have is a cell phone. I just thought I'd call on, is it better here?
Yep, way better.
Oh my, okay,
are you
good.
Standing on your head now? Is that it?
That's right, upside down.
That works.
My electricity just went off.
Oh,
here,
really?
So I'm wondering if that's Yeah. I wonder if that's why it's good reception.
Are you guys having a storm? Are you having a storm?
Yeah, we are in Monterey. Yeah, this all the electricity's off. And this my electricity's off on where I was, but it's off here. So.
Wow. Well, not as big as Sandy, I'm assuming.
No, it's just a pleasant little storm, that's all. So I wonder what you see for me here as far as my growth. I'm working on staying, feeling my emotions more fully and also being taking transitions with more poise. And not getting into a rush. So those are two big areas I've been working on, you know, personally. So how do you see that progressing? You see that as improving with me very much, or
I do indeed. And what I'm seeing is that your heart is opening in a big way, and you may feel some congestion there because it's really kind of tearing where your vibrations have held a pattern. It's kind of tearing open right now, and I'm glad for that. That's great.
Oh, okay, good. I've been working on it. It's just that my awareness, I'm not aware of it shifting, but so it's always nice to check in with somebody I know, like you. And
yeah, it's really important to know that you're making progress here, Ted.
Yeah.
And you look like you're doing very well. Are you doing your breathing? Are you doing breathing classes or...
I am. Well, I've been doing some classes on NVC, and I've also doing breath work, that's nonviolent communication and breath work. And, you know, I'm also doing some volunteer work helping elders. And so it's all keeping me busy. You had mentioned that you thought that it wasn't kind of create too much scatteredness for me. So I went in all three of those directions.
So are you scattered? Tell us the truth. You don't look scattered.
Get scattered in some moments. Yeah, I do get scattered in some moments, and that's what was worrying me, that maybe it was just too much. But I feel a pull in all three directions. So, the key is to stay present, I think, and just be with it and, you know, see what happens.
But you know that things are moving so fast, Ted, that I think even people who are standing still can feel scattered. But it seems like those three directions all have the heart as their center. So you could think of it as your maypole, if you want. It looks like you're going to get a lot more grounded in the middle of even more activity in a little while.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well. Yeah. It all feels good, and my relationship with Carol is going really nicely. And it's a great.
Yeah, she's a very sweet person. She's also strong, isn't she?
She is.
Good. I admire that.
Yeah, I guess so. she's pretty self-confident. Yes, she is.
She's
also kind of a follower.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she sort of lets me take the lead and what to do, but a lot of times. So, and that's fine. I like leading.
Well, I think that's funny because I would say she knows a lot about what she's doing. Did you hear about the Sister Giant thing at the beginning of the show?
No, I didn't.
Look up.
Yeah, my internet's not working terribly well.
Well, when I was when I opened the show, I got all excited because Marianne Williamson is doing a thing on the weekend called Sister Giant, and they're using they're trying to get women and the strong men that want to be with us to step forward in a nonpartisan political way to stand up in nonviolent communication, in love, in respect, and harmonize. A lot of the values that we've been espousing in this society, and it's very powerful. And you need to look at the website or find out something about Sister Giant. And I get the feeling Carol would really like it.
Okay. Yeah.
And you might as well.
It's happening this weekend.
Yes, it's in L.A., but you can live stream it or whatever. But Marianne Williamson's been standing strong for a lot of years, right?
Yes. Yeah, she's got a good thing.
Yeah, but I think that the fact she's trying to bring it in nonviolent communication style is really very, very powerful for a lot of people, you know?
She wrote this whole book, all the book that was channeling Jesus. Wasn't that her thing?
Well, I think it was more the Course in Miracles that she studied.
Yeah,
and
Course in Miracles, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And but she's also had the courage to stand up and talk about it very fiercely, and she's small and beautiful, and, you know, this is good. She's really got some following, mostly throwing people back into looking for their own values. And you're like that. You're coming from the heart, and the work you're doing is all the kind of stuff she was talking about. She said, it doesn't matter which party you belong to. We need to espouse values.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. It's so important just to, you know, how we are with each other rather than the big picture of politics, you know.
Well, I think anybody I talk to if anybody I talk to who's a change agent all says we've got to start locally, we've got to be really responsible at a local level and have that grow, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Community consciousness.
Yeah,
well,
I've got a number of people from the other side, the other party, and I interact pretty well with them. And I've got one group of people that are pretty negative, but I still am maintaining contact. I'm a little undecided. Maybe I should just drop them because they're pretty, you know, this one set, they're pretty, they're just pretty judgmental and nasty, and it's just the way that is. But
I think sometimes you just have to float and go where you can present yourself. You know?
Yeah.
Because we're all in it together, right?
Sure. And I think what happens a lot of times, you know, people just avoid the whole topic, or they avoid the whole, you know, set of people, you know, just because it's so contentious.
Oh, I know.
Stay in contact.
The week before the election, anywhere I went, nobody even breathed a word about the election.
I know. Because metaphysics types, you know, they want to be peaceful and stuff. So the way to do it, or the way people see to do it, is just to not talk about it. But I see it as kind of a challenge. You know, I like to, you know, talk to, you know, I'm more on the liberal side, and, you know, I like to talk to people who are conservative, you know, just to chat, you know, and just be with that and, you know, take an interest in what they have to say without agreeing.
Oh, that's a good idea, because I think hearing each other is really important.
Absolutely, yeah. People want to be heard.
And sometimes we only get a thumbnail of what it is. We don't really know what people think they know.
Sure.
Or what I think
I know. Yeah, so I'll oftentimes say, well, you know, what's really, we have to look at the process. You know, what's the process of me talking with you and being in here? And then that's so important, and it's probably, that's big, I think, and so I'll put that out there, even when the person disagrees.
Well, I think it's working for you.
So. Yeah, thanks, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear from you, Ted. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Veronica. Yeah, thanks for doing your show. It's a great, great show.
Thank you, honey. So, take care and say hello to Carol for us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I sure will. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. So that was a nice call, and he's right. How many of you found that you couldn't really talk about the election the week before it with anybody? It was really quite interesting for me anyway. And again, I'd like to see if anybody can call in from the East Coast. Of course, you should be in bed if you've got a nice warm bed. Really nice to hear from you. Anyway, back to the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. It's also about the kind of things these old books, or these books that philosophically go through the journey of the soul and what it is we're looking for, are really amazing in a contentious time, because you realize that everything, we know this from all the work we're doing, everything is coming from who we are and what it is we're putting in the world. And if you're hiding a defiance or defensiveness, that really emanates out into your world anyway. Or if you're really angry or jealous or competitive with people, it shows up and it acts itself out in front of you. We know all that. But it's really wonderful to read these kinds of books, which take you through that journey through different societies and different people's stories and different countries and how they all handle it and how it's gone on through history. But also the thing about Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, it talks about how you get into consciousness in such a way that you can break out of that kind of cellular repeated pattern, which you and I call karma. The other interesting thing about that book, I know some of you have already read it, but the other interesting thing is they talk about the bardos. If you die and you're in an emotional flap of hula and you've done terrible things and so on, for a while you go through a period called a bardo, which can be a very, very uncomfortable and very painful time. So they've got all these levels of bardo so that you're getting to the ones that are really illuminating through ones that are very mucky. But the funny thing is that I had not realized, several of you already had, but I did not realize that what we're living in right now they call the first bardo. So here we are in the bardo. So let's see, what else? So what I did was I was really fascinated by talking about reincarnation, about death. If we've reincarnated a number of times, it should be easy to die. And I'm also fascinated by the fact this is supposed to be the time of the shift, and we can bring in these higher frequency energies. I've been doing it through the Oneness Blessings, the Diksha, and also my own guides and angels teaching me. So I keep thinking all these pieces are coming together, and we're going to be able to just like pop through this shift, and it's not going to be the same old process. What do you think of that? Where was I going? Oh, yeah, so I decided to go see Cloud Atlas, which is supposed to be a really interesting movie about people who've interacted through many lifetimes. And it's good. It is really good. Tom Hanks and some other people, but I won't try to remember all the actors and actresses because I kind of forget them. And their lifetimes interacted, and there's like a lot of like common threads, like people who are attracted to one another and so on. But I'll tell you what, it's a bit confusing because there's so much detail, and you forget who's in what lifetime at any given time. At least I did. So then I was going back to my book, the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. I don't have enough time to just read the whole thing, or at least it's too rich for me to read the whole thing. So then I decided one night when I wanted to get some entertainment to get the Little Buddha. And the Little Buddha is an old story. Remember, it was 93 they put that movie out about the story of the lamas coming over and trying to track down the reincarnation of a teacher, a lama who crossed over. And they found a Seattle boy, a little boy in Seattle, who was supposedly the reincarnation of that lama. And then all the It was a wonderful story for me because it's all about the Tibetan recognitions of compassion. Compassion is one of the most important premises, and about aversions, attachments and aversions, and releasing those, and the graspings and the self-cherishing and releasing those. I loved the Little Buddha. I really enjoyed it. And the story of Siddhartha, who became the Buddha, that ran all the way through it. It's really a neat story, even though it's so old. So what did I do after that? A couple of days later, when I wanted to see a movie, I got 93 as well, Groundhog Day, and watched Bill Murray face his karmic hoo-ha day after day after day, getting up every day, and it was the same day. So it was like I was talking to Ted, and we're saying, oh, my gosh, things are moving so fast these days. So that was like the collapsing of a whole bunch of lifetimes into a movie for Bill Murray. And it's really a wonderful little series of vignettes that I've just seen. But it sure made me go back to, say, the Bhagavad Gita and remember that you and I are really just trying to learn to unhook ourselves from the tyranny of horrible old reactions that have come from all kinds of experiences. And it, you see it in the collective. And as the collective reflects, so is it in us. And oh my gosh. Now we're almost done here. I believe my next paradigm shifters visitation is going to be with Randy Masters, and he was our first paradigm shifter. He was the first guy I interviewed. Randy Masters is amazing. He introduced my wonderful partner Bob and I a bunch of years ago, and he does sacred geometrics. He makes beautiful jewelry, or he has designed beautiful jewelry. He does sound healing. His whole home and his life actually is based on, or everything he does, he sets up the resonance so that he can live the way he really wants to live. And he studies all this stuff so that, anyway, we had him on several times in the past, and a lot of you loved it, where he has certain sounds, certain music, and ways of explaining how you can bring, how you can choose the resonances and the vibrations you bring into your life. So going back into all these other things we're talking about, if you can shift, change the energy to change the reality. So if you're really dealing, grappling with a lot of external stuff, which is making you kind of crazy intense, you can change a lot of that by changing the frequencies and the resonances that you're encouraging with your preferences, your thinking, your attractions, and so on, or recognizing your attractions and changing those out. And Randy's going to talk to us about how to do that. You'll love talking to him because he's just got such a broad spectrum of sounds, beautiful chimes. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Oh, yeah, and he takes, Bob's reminding me that he takes people on tours to Egypt, and he slept in the big king's chamber and so on, hasn't he? He's done some amazing work inside of the pyramids. Pretty interesting guy. He's giving a workshop in Santa Cruz. I wish we could go November the 17th and 18th, so he's going to come on this week and talk about it. So tune in Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for Randy Masters. And then Thursday night, it's going to be us talking again. By the way, I'm setting my website is coming along. I'm going to get a bunch of... Oh, if you'd like to take a look at my website, Bob's telling me it's up now. We're going to add things to it. So if you want to take a look at it and tell me what you think is missing, what our intention is to set up a kind of a portal. I'm writing a lot more blogs with an intention of writing a lot more. And there's going to be some video blogs, which are not done yet. There's one little video on the front. We're going to do some video meditation. And feedback from you would be really welcome. It's a great place to get in touch or to interact. And this is a good time to check into it because then you could tell us what's missing. I'm going to put a list of books that I really cherish up there, and maybe some of your books you want to put up there. I don't know. We're just looking for ideas. So please tune in. It's Veronica Entwistle, no H in Entwistle.com. That's VeronicaEntwistle.com. All my, a lot of information about the paradigm shifters that we've talked to, where we intend to go, what's up on planet Earth, and like that. And then Jackie Salvitti at the ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness follows this show. I think she's got a pre-record going on. And now that I'm not on that show with her, she has Squirrel Rourke with her. So you can tune in normally at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. But again, like I think she's got a pre-record that's on an older show that's on tonight. And next Thursday at 7 o'clock, you'll see me here at Radiance by Design. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. I look forward to any feedback that you have for me for this, suggestions for guests, feedback about guests, and any other thing you want to talk about. Take a deep breath, and let's send it out, send blessings out to the whole world. Good night.